Thank you for tuning into the LeaveItInTheRing.com network. You're entering the full court press with R. Dot and Fresh, sponsored by SportsAndGiggles.com and Made Apparel. We have a very special show for you guys. This is our first episode. What up, Fresh?
What up, R. Dot? Glad to be here, man. How was your day, brother?
Man, I had a good day. Pretty much sports research all day. So anytime I can do some sports research, I would say it's a good day. How about yourself?
Had to go get my weekly maintenance. You know, I got to keep it tight, man.
I see you. Got the Ross.
You know what I mean? I'm older, so he got the Fresh.
Like it. Let's get right into it with Cam Newton. He's in the news again. He's probably going to be in the news all the way up until the Super Bowl because, you know, they got the Super Bowl filler since there's no football games going on.
Nothing this week, yeah. Cam dabbing all the way to Santa Clara.
Bay Area, what's up? Stand up. He's in the news again saying he's a black quarterback for these reasons and not. He even had an interesting quote that I'm sure everybody heard by now, but we'll go ahead and quote it. I'm an African-American quarterback that may scare a lot of people because they haven't seen nothing that they can compare me to, end quote. Powerful statement from a big-time quarterback. What you think of that statement?
That's a very true statement. Because I know I've never seen anything quite like Cam at the quarterback position. And it's scary. He's scary good how good he can be. How good he's going to be and continue to get at 26 years old. He's about to be the face of the league. So the people that don't like Cam for whatever reasons, they better get used to seeing his smiling face. Because he enjoyed playing the game of football. And that's just how he do. He did the same thing at Auburn. He didn't dap and dance because you couldn't. But he was going around the stadium slapping hands with the crowd. So Cam is being Cam, and I like how he said he can look in the mirror and know he's Cam. He's not who somebody wanted him to act like. He's true to his roots.
You know what? He reminds me of somebody I enjoyed as a youngster and by the name of Allen Iverson. He's doing it his way. Allen Iverson won his way, and at the end of the day, all his faults, misfortunes, and successes all boil down to him because he did it his way. No outside influence whatsoever. So when we speak of Cam Newton, I would say I'm glad he said that because if you're a man, you're supposed to do it your way. That's one part of being a man, doing it the way you know how to do it. Only you can, because at the end of the day, it's only you and the Lord.
I couldn't agree more.
So the NBA All-Star reserves were announced today. Anything surprise you?
No, sir. I got 13 out of the 14. The only one I missed, I picked Damian Lillard as opposed to LaMarcus Aldridge. Let me run down the reserves in the West for you. Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
Love it.
CP3.
Love it.
The bearded one, LaMarcus Aldridge.
Love it.
And Anthony Davis.
Love it.
You had no comment when I mentioned the bearded one. How do you feel about James Harden? Is it something you want to share with the audience there, R. Dot?
I mean, James Harden, to me, of course, he's a highlight machine. I mean, ESPN and all the hot blogs and TV shows, they're going to play all his offensive moves because, you know, he's got crossover to the left, he's got the Euro step, and he shoots threes. He bombs threes. But I mean, it's more to basketball than that. And one part of James Harden's game I would have to say needs to improve is his defense. His defense is too horrible for me for him to be an all-star at this time. And I also feel his offensive game has not evolved enough. At this stage of his career, I need to see something else. Can I get some post-game? Can you actually make someone else better besides yourself? Can you take more than two dribbles to the right? You know, show me something new, James Harden. Just step your game up. That's all I want to see. I like your game, but just evolve it into more.
And you have it from R. Dot. Now let's get into the East reserves. You got the hometown host, DeMar DeRozan of the Raptors. My homeboy from the Detroit Pistons, Andre Drummond. Chris Bosh, an all-star staple. I think this might be his 9th or 10th all-star selection. Paul Millsap, Isaiah Thomas getting his first all-star selection. Great pick. Jimmy Butler and John Wall.
You know, one thing I noticed about the East in comparison with the West, it just feels like there are no stars on the East reserves. Whereas you got these guys in the West, most of them played on the Olympic team, you know? That's just my first impression.
So I take it you got the West in the All-Star game.
I'm going to have to roll with the West, man. I mean, I got Cali love. So, I mean, I live out West. I think the East always get the bias. So I'm going with the West. And it's my man Kobe Bean Bryant's last one. I'm going with the West.
I'm going to have to go with the East, man, just, you know, just because. Kobe is my man. This is his last go-around. I would love to see Mamba. This should be his kind of game. It should be an up-and-down fun game. Kobe should put on the show. Or his last All-Star game. And some people had a problem with Kobe going to the All-Star game and starting an All-Star game. Kobe deserves everything he gets, man. He's put in work 20 seasons. He bridged the gap between the Jordan era and the new era, and we didn't miss a beat.
Fresh. Wait. Hold up. You think Kobe going to go balls to the wall? You think he going to go hard like it's a real game? Like he been gearing up for this game? What I want to know is, do you think Kobe Bryant got the All-Star game circled?
Yes. He's going to go at Melo. He's going to go at LeBron. He's going to go at D-Wade for old time's sake. It's going to be fun to watch.
Is it going to be like?
It's going to be Magic Johnson-ish.
No way. It's not going to be Magic Johnson-ish.
It's going to be Magic Johnson-ish.
Magic Johnson-ish. It ain't going to be. It's not going to be Magic Johnson-ish. I like it, though.
If your prediction with the West winning, Kobe would be the MVP.
I see it like that. I see it exactly. If you want to orchestrate anything about the that's what I see. That scenario right there. Kobe Bean Bryant, I think he going to have 25, 5, and 5. Now, he actually going to have 8. He going to have 8 dimes.
I was just thinking, I might have to reconsider what I just said Kobe's going to do in this game. Kobe probably is going to start, do a little bit, and I don't think he's going to really play too much, to be honest with you.
What?
I don't think Kobe's going to play a whole lot.
So you retracting your whole statement about him having this game circled?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play that much. Now that I'm thinking about it. I hope I'm wrong.
What makes you say that?
Because he's sitting out now. He don't even want to play now. You know, he has a sore shoulder. So he's been missing games. So I just don't think he's going to go all out like that in the All-Star game and, you know, risk injury.
Man.
I'm not saying he's not going to go all out, but I don't think he's going to play a lot of minutes.
I don't know, bro. I was kind of agreeing with your first idea. I think
it sounded good.
I think he's going out. I don't think he's going out like this.
After further consideration.
Now, what about what DeMarcus Cousins says? DeMarcus Cousins thinks the All-Star voting should be completely out of the fans' hands. He said the way that the All-Star game is set up, how they got rid of positions, how it's just players, he says sends a bad message.
He has a point, but I don't like the fact that he said the fans shouldn't have a vote at all.
He said that.
But I like the fact, I agree with him on the positions. But for a while there wasn't really a lot of good centers. When you got Roy Hibbert, your starting center in the East All-Star game, it's definitely time to change how the All-Star goes.
Roy Hibbert, who he play for?
He's in the West with the Lakers now.
Wow, Roy Hibbert, what happened to him?
He was a starting All-Star starter in the East.
Listen to what DeMarcus Cousins says. Quote, it's disrespectful to big men the way the things are set up now. And he said, it's not really fair, but that's how it is, end quote. You know, he's just like, whatever. DeMarcus Cousins is reigning Western Conference Player of the Month.
He's been on fire. I agree, but this hasn't. Now we have a few big men that's worthy of being All-Star starters, and that's Boogie, and that's Andre Drummond. They'll be a staple in the All-Star game for the next 10 years or better.
I agree. So you think basically Kobe has what, Draymond Green spot right now, or
as a starter? Yes, he really he didn't cost anybody a spot on the All-Star team. I don't think anybody was snubbed this year in the West, so Kobe didn't take a spot. But Draymond deserved to be a starter based on the year that he's having.
I agree,
but I would have started him probably since Kobe had to start. He would have been my pick over Kawhi Leonard.
Who?
Draymond Green as a starter
over Kawhi Leonard.
Over Kawhi Leonard.
Wow. So you think the starters are Kawhi Leonard, Kobe. So if Kobe was not there,
Draymond would be the other starter.
Draymond would be the other starter. And you would still leave Kawhi Leonard in, or would you put DeMarcus Cousins in?
DeMarcus Cousins.
So you would give Kawhi Leonard a bit.
I would put Kawhi Leonard on my bench.
Okay.
And let Draymond start.
But for sure, Draymond Green.
Absolutely. Mr. Triple-double. Mr. Triple-double.
Right.
You look at his numbers.
I've seen them.
15, 9, and 7. Are you kidding me?
And the Warriors are, again, on the 5-game win streak.
Exactly.
They just beat Dallas last night. It was close until about the fourth quarter. Then Golden State just put it in high gear.
Yeah, they only won by 20. They slipping compared to what they did to the Cavs, the Bulls, and the Spurs in the last 10 days.
Speaking of the Spurs, they demolished the Spurs the other night. They demolished the Spurs. Tony Parker only played 19 minutes. Tim Duncan didn't play. You know, these type of things show that Popovich, it seems like Popovich was out there scouting, kind of like a secret spy agent, except for he was hiding in plain sight. But he was spying, building intel, you know, taking notes. He didn't give Golden State any information. Because, like I said, Tony Parker played 19 minutes. I think Manu played like 18 minutes.
That's because they was getting their ass kicked.
You think it was because of that? Or you think he was out there getting intel? He was collecting intel.
Only thing I saw that, did you see anything against the Spurs you didn't see the previous 40-plus games? Did you see anything different? What kind of intel you think Pop gathered that the Golden State Warriors is a modern-day cheat code? It's not even fair.
What's they code? Up, up, down, down, left, right, left, right?
They code is the Splash Brothers. Just when you think you got a shot. Steph have a bad night last night, 19 points. But Clay hits you for 40-plus. Come on, man. When your second-best player can give you 40 or 50 at any given time, don't forget Clay Thompson got the record for most points in the quarter with 37. Are you kidding me?
I mean, just take a look at some of these scores, right? 120-90 against the Spurs. They beat 120-90. Incredible. Incredible. These are good teams. Chicago Bulls, 125-94. Cleveland, 132-98. These numbers seem unreal because these are good teams. These are 30-win teams.
Speaking of Cleveland, what do you think about the firing of David Black and the hiring of Tyronn Lue?
I think this is a bad situation. LeBron is throwing his weight around and dictating personnel. LeBron is the gift and the curse. The gift is you're going to get a great player. You're going to get a great role model. A lot of kids love him. Old ladies love him. When Oprah talking about you, you good. Now you in whole new network. The curse is he knows this. So he knows how to play the game and manipulate everything because he's a smart guy. So that's the curse. Us public people, we don't even really know LeBron. We just see this mold of a basketball player that says everything right. What's the worst thing LeBron ever said?
The decision. I'm taking my talents to South Beach.
And that was just a job change.
And that was just how people had a problem with him, how he handled that. But I think Ty Lue is the best coach for that team. I think the firing of David Black, the timing might not have been ideal. But I think in the long run, Ty Lue is the better coach for that job. You know, Ty Lue was the highest paid assistant coach. He was their second choice behind David Blatt. It was up to them, too, because they made him the associate head coach. So it was really just a matter of time before Ty Lue had that position.
I read a number of articles about this, and the thing that came up the most was accountability issues. He wouldn't, you know, go after the big names. He will only go after the reserves, and anyone that's ever played any type of sports or been around any type of locker room, the great coaches usually go hard on the stars because they hold the stars to a higher standard. So the stars have to run back on defense. They have to call out picks. They have to box out. They got to do all the little things that suck, but it should be routine because that's what makes them better players, you know. Now, I was talking to a couple of friends of mine And we were just sitting around talking about the NBA. And I was talking about one thing about Cleveland was that I felt like Kyrie Irving, he needs to be more of a 17-11 guy, 18-11 guy, because I feel like he's the one that's got to get Kevin Love involved more. Even though Kevin Love showed that he was a one-man wrecking crew in Minnesota, but, man, those teams were trash. And I don't even know if other teams were taking them serious when they went up there to play Minnesota. So, you know, now the games matter a little bit, and he needs help. I really don't see why Kyrie has to be, you know, your second leading scorer, or, you know, he can probably take a back seat and let Kevin Love. But a lot of people think Kevin Love isn't aggressive enough, and I don't know if that's true or not. I've seen him, you know, as an aggressive player.
So you mean to tell me from what you've seen, you think Kevin Love is the second best player on the Cavs?
No, what I'm saying is I think Kyrie is definitely the second best player on the Cavs. But what I'm saying is Kyrie is probably going to have to be the one to take the back row, whereas everyone else is looking at Kevin Love to do it. See, in Miami, it wasn't an issue because Dwayne Wade just said, yo, I know I'm the man, but I'll take the back seat. So he kind of took less shots and became more of an efficient player by being in the post and doing other things to make the team better. You know, I feel like Kyrie should do the same thing. But the problem is Kyrie isn't old enough to do that yet. He would have to become like a super mature point guard like overnight for that to happen. Because when you're a young point guard and you got the handle, you want to score.
Kyrie is not the point guard. LeBron James is the point guard. You need those shooters around LeBron. You need to open up the game more like they're running now. They need to be more of a transition team. Get Kevin Love. Let him become more of at the elbow, more pick and rolls with Kyrie and Kevin Love, and let him do more besides spot up and shoot threes. He's wasting away behind the three-point arc. He can do so much more than that. And I think Ty Lue is going to bring that out of his game, change his game up more, give him more mid-range elbow touches as opposed to just living behind the three-point line.
I see Tyronn Lue implementing defense a lot just by knowing how Lue was as a player. He was considered on the Lakers team like the guard defensive stopper. That's why he was guarding Iverson when Iverson did the famous step over Jay 3-point in front of your bench team. It's only right that Tyronn Lue implement defense because, man, they pick and roll defense was horrible.
Well, Tyronn Lue was the defense coordinator for the team. That was his job to do the defense. And the weakness on defense is Kevin Love is a liability on defense. Well, when they got LeBron, when LeBron decided to come to Cleveland, David Blatt was already the coach. They were in the rebuild mode with a young coach with no NBA experience. David Blatt would have never got that job had LeBron signed prior to them having a coach.
I agree with that. And I know that caught LeBron kind of blindsided there with the David Blatt hiring.
And, you know, LeBron rolled with it. You know, he did some things and exposed Blatt in the playoffs last year. Blatt was about to call a timeout that they didn't have. Ty Lue stopped him from calling the timeout. David Blatt called up the last play of the game for a shot for LeBron to take the ball out of bounds and J.R. Smith get the shot. And LeBron changed the play on his own because that wasn't the right play to have your best player taking the ball out of bounds. So it was just things like that. They called him LeBron the coach killer, but I think David Blatt wasn't the right guy for that job. I'm not saying he couldn't be a good NBA coach. He has a lot of professional basketball coaching experience overseas, tons of titles over there. The NBA is a different animal.
I agree. We'll leave it at that. Check this out. Have you had a chance to see who's doing a halftime show at the NBA All-Star game?
Is it true? I heard it's Sting. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's Sting. Isn't that a rock and roll band?
Sting is, it's not a band. Sting is a person. He used to be in a group called The Police.
See, I'm too young to know who Sting is.
Sting has a few classic hits, but is really not our genre of music. For the NBA audience, this is really not their audience. It's not their crowd. It's not his crowd.
Yeah, the turn down is for real because
the turn down in Toronto was all the way real at halftime.
It's all the way real.
This is where the halftime show goes bad. They doing too much in the NBA with the Sting. Why wouldn't it be Drake?
He's from Toronto. He's the ambassador. 70% of the NBA is African American, or is it more?
It's probably at least 70%.
It's at least 70%. And the fan.
I can't say about the fans who actually buy the tickets, though, is 75%.
That's true, though. But
Sting, no, not in Toronto. And that's where Drake from. He's the ambassador for the Toronto for the NBA. That's a no-brainer. I'm sure he probably got a concert and a bunch of other stuff going on that weekend. So.
Well, I want to let you know. I've been to a couple of All-Star games, and I'm sure you have, too. And it's a pretty African-American to me.
It's a very African-American party crowd, but the crowd that may actually go to the game itself on Sunday, it don't be a lot. It be a lot of us, you know, celebrities.
Okay.
But up in the rafters where you really can't see the crowd, it be Caucasian, Asians, a few of us.
So we both agree that the NBA kind of failed on the...
They fell off on the All-Star thing, maybe because it's in Toronto. They more catering to the international fans as opposed to the normal American NBA fan. I understand.
And that's a great point. And I'm glad you brought that up because what I did was I looked up four of the worst halftime performances, either Super Bowl or NBA.
Now, before you tell me the year or the bad ones that you found, I guarantee it was after Janet Jackson and Titty Gate in 2004.
Yes, it was definitely... Okay.
Titty Gate changed everything for the halftime show.
Yes, Titty Gate shut it down and messed it up.
And it's on tape delay.
And on tape delay.
It's a 3 or 4 second delay now, just in case more tits pop out. They're not going to see it on live TV anymore.
It was like, I forgot what movie it was, but it was a quote. Titty Gate, the show is over. Titty Gate ruined it for everybody.
Titty Gate ruined halftime for everybody. Thank you, Janet. Thank you, Janet. The worst. The top four worst.
But this is what I came up with. Top four. Top four worst. 2012 Super Bowl. Giants versus Pats. Patriots. In Indianapolis. That was the game when Giants ended up winning. 21-17. LMAFO. The party rocker guys.
WAC.com.
That's a bad performance right there, buddy. A good thing, you know, the game itself was a great game because that halftime show definitely felt. You know, I think I turned it to the lingerie bowl for the first time during that half. Are you kidding me? LMAFO? Party rocking?
And I'm definitely laughing my fucking ass off at that pick for the halftime show.
All right. Number three, 2005 NBA All-Star game, Denver. This was in Denver. The MVP, Philadelphia 76er at the time, Allen Iverson. He had 15 points, 10 rebounds. No, I'm sorry, 10 assists, 5 steals. He was balling. Halftime performers. Leanne Rimes in a rock group called Big and Rich. Now, I've heard of Leanne Rimes.
Country singer.
And I probably heard her song before, but I don't know it. She's a country. I'm sure I don't really remember the performance at the top of my head, but I'm sure it was a wonderful performance. I'm sure. But really, though?
Her crowd was not at the NBA All-Star game, trust me. Nobody. It's a handful of may have bought her a record. Everybody performed.
What do you do when you spend $1,200 on a ticket? Okay. So, number two. Now, this is going to kill you, number two. In the City of Brotherly Love, 2002.
Oh, it was before Titty Gate.
MVP, Kobe Bean Bryant. NBA All-Star Game. The West won 135-120. It's the year when T-Mac threw the famous
off the backboard
to himself and dunked it. Awesome. Guess who was that? Guess who was the halftime performer in that show?
In the City of Brotherly Love. Should have been Will Smith.
Somebody like that, absolutely. Right? Summertime, right? Elton John did the honors for the Philly fans.
Whoa. Why are they doing this to the NBA fan at halftime? Such not that kind of crowd performances, man. This is terrible.
19,000 people
I normally be doing some different shit at halftime of the NBA All-Star game, so I really don't pay attention to who's performing, but I'm glad I haven't missed anything, it sounds like.
Yeah, that is the bad one. And then number one is famous Titty Gate. We can never forget that.
Titty Gate ruined halftime for the Super Bowl for everyone. But thank you, Janet. I would never get that vision out of my head. Thank you so much, Janet.
But you know what? I was thinking, man, you know, we don't know Sting. I don't know Sting personally. You don't know him, but he may be a huge NBA fan. We just don't know, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure he is. You know, we love this game, but I don't know if there's a lot of Sting fans. But like you said, he's from another country also. So it probably, you know, he got a lot of fans over in the Toronto area. A lot of French Canadians like Sting. So it's catering to the crowd, not a bad choice, but catering to the NBA crowd that's going to watch it on television, they're not.
All right. I agree. So we just don't know. We'll see. Everything should be fun. We'll see. We're going to go into talk about another kid here from college basketball ranks. We got Ben Simmons. You know, they're comparing him to one of your favorite players, a Michigan State alumni by the name of Irvin Magic Johnson.
Oh, that's a worthy comparison. That's like you being compared to Magic is huge. It's well deserved. He has the all around game. I want him to get more selfish. That's the only thing I can see in his game. He needs to shoot the ball more.
And that's another thing they were saying. He's kind of like LeBron in a way. He's a little too unselfish, whereas he has Magic-like skills, but LeBron's mentality.
Yeah, I watched this game. He's pretty he can dribble with both hands. He can shoot with both hands. He's 6'10". He handled the ball. He runs the offense. When he get the rebound, he go with it, and he's actually the point forward right now. That's what I would play him at the next level. And he definitely, hands down, would be my number one pick in the draft, period.
That's what they're saying. They're saying he's hands down number one because he's up for all the type of National Player of the Year awards and all the highest awards for a college basketball player, and he's a freshman. But they're saying he's projected at number one. Now, my question is, these college players that we project as going to be great players, don't you think they should at least get their team to an Elite Eight appearance in order for us to say, hey, this guy at the next level is going to be great? Because I feel like if you're a great player in college, it's pretty easy for you to do well. All you have to do is get your teammates to play better. But the good thing is, if you play at a big school, usually everyone on the team is decent at least, but when you go in against the smaller schools, right, not everybody is good on those teams. They may have just one player that's real good and all the rest of the players are like below average. So these guys should be able to beast through these teams. Like a team like LSU should be able to beast through these smaller schools. But I'm looking at LSU's schedule. They don't have a quality win yet, and they play Oklahoma this weekend at home at LSU. Oklahoma's ranked number one. That's a huge game. Now, I feel like in this situation, Ben Simmons, he might lose, but let's see how he is after this game if they lose. But if they win, then we could certify him as a great player? Nope.
I think it's too early to make him to say he's great. He has great potential to be. He has the potential to become a great player. I think he should be dominating, have a bigger impact on this team than he's having, in my opinion.
What you think about, at least for great players, at least in the Elite Eight appearance, if they're a great player in college?
You should get to the Elite, at least the Sweet 16. You should at least win.
Sweet 16, get bounced out all the time, fresh.
You should at least get to this. You should at least get out the first weekend. Anything can happen in the tournament. But I'm not in – their record is – I'm worried about that record.
Well, their record, they're 13-7 and 6-2 in the conference.
They had a good win against Kentucky.
But Kentucky on the down.
Kentucky on the down. I agree with that. It's a player I want you to watch Saturday against LSU.
Who's that?
Buddy Hields.
Oh.
Oklahoma.
Yes. I like Buddy.
He's definitely in my top five.
Yes.
Draft coming out.
You know, Oklahoma is my team kind of to win it all. I think they got the full package.
You like Oklahoma?
I do. I'm going with Oklahoma on the record. I'm a Lon Kruger fan.
I'm a homer. I'm going with the Spartans.
You like the Spartans?
They had a little struggle. They had a struggle. They had a struggle. We had a three-game skid back there just a while ago. But Valentine was hurt. He's back. We're going to roll. We'll see you in the Final Four again, like Michigan State.
I think Valentine got to do too much. But if it's one player that has to do too much, I would want it to be Denzel Valentine.
Mr. Triple-Double himself.
Yes. Do you think he could play at that level, at the next level? What position is he?
He's a Draymond Green.
At what height?
He's a stretch four. I think he's 6'8", 6'9". He's going to be a stretch four without a doubt on the next level. He'll be a 3-4 like Draymond. He'll be a tough cover on the next level.
He dribbles well. He finishes well. He shoots the outside shot well.
Great ball handling and great passing vision.
He's definitely a prototypical NBA player now, which goes back to what you and I was talking about before we started, how teams now, what are their identities? Like back in the day where we're talking about 90s, teams had identities, 80s team. We knew what we were going to get from Detroit. We knew what we were going to get from Alonzo Mourning's Miami team. Tough, hard defense. Pat Riley, tough, hard defense. We're going to get some three-pointers from Tim Hardaway, and everybody else going to lock you up and play tough. We knew what we were going to get from Patrick Ewing Knicks. You know, we knew the Lakers, we knew what we were going to get. They run it. Magic is running. Detroit, Chicago, teams had identity. Do teams have identities today? And what I'm saying is, I know they do, but why don't more teams have identity? Because it seems like the only teams that consistently win are the teams that either have LeBron James or an identity. Those are the teams that win.
That's a good observation. LeBron is special. So you're right. You got LeBron. But that don't mean you have an identity. You think that makes you have an identity because LeBron, you got LeBron?
No, that's what I'm saying. He was the exception.
Now, today's game has changed. The rules have changed. The decision makers has changed. You have a lot of numbers guys, the analytic guys now. It's not so much the eye test. I like the eye test. I like to see. Numbers on a piece of paper don't mean nothing to me when I know this guy right here can play. Either you can play or you can't. You know, I'm not saying there's no room in sports for analytics, but it's a little too much analytics going into putting rosters together. And that's why the identity of a lot of teams now is layups and three-pointers. They said the mid-range shot is the worst shot in basketball.
Yeah, that's true. The mid-range shot is definitely the worst because you see players now, they only shoot threes or they going all the way to the cup because they want to be on SportsCenter. Mid-range don't make SportsCenter or any highlight reel, but it's the most important. And if you look at guys that do have the mid-range, they real nice in every offense. Guys like Harrison Barnes, he's got a nice mid-range. You know, Rip Hamilton brings back memories and mid-range.
Master of the
mid-range.
Oh, my
God, he brung it. You know, another guy was in college with the mid-range was Juan Dixon, I can remember. He had great mid-range.
Klay Thompson has a crazy mid-range.
Yes, Klay Thompson do. You know, I was one of the first guys that I knew about Klay Thompson when he was at Washington State because I was wondering all the time how they was winning games because I saw him play a couple times. I'm like, man, these guys. But then I saw Klay Thompson, and I was like, ding, ding, ding. That's how they been winning. This guy, you think he don't miss now? In college, he never missed.
That is crazy.
Yeah, and he went number 7, I think.
Yeah, he was 7th in the draft.
Right.
Do you remember that Golden State was considering trading Klay Thompson for Kevin Love? Do you remember that?
I do remember that. That would have been tragic.
Golden State would not be the defending world champs had they made that trade.
You know, a lot of people are going super hard on Kevin Love right now, and I understand why, but I don't think it's totally on him. I don't.
What do you mean?
I think he needs to be the second leading scorer. I think he needs that just for his psyche. I think he does. In order for him to play good or play well, he needs to get shots. that's just the type of player he is. Like, Chris Bosh kind of accepted the role and went with it. Maybe Chris Bosh is more strong-minded than Kevin Love. You know, maybe it is. And maybe Cleveland didn't see that coming. But I think Cleveland is trying to use the mold or the blueprint that worked in Miami, but perhaps it just worked in Miami. This is Cleveland.
I think that's what David Black was doing. I think Ty Lue, I've watched three games the Cavs played. The first game, they struggled shooting the ball. But the next two games they played been really up-tempo. And it's going to be – I'm waiting to see the finished product come April with the Cavs. I like what they did, getting rid of Black and let Lue take over. Lue did an interview with Stephen A., and he said immediately he got a hold – he talked to LeBron. He said, I got to hold you accountable. Because if I don't hold you accountable, the rest of the guys, I can't hold them accountable. So it starts with you.
And that was what David Blatt should have done in the jump, at the jump, but he never did.
He made that. That's what you call a rookie mistake.
He was so intimidated, or, I mean, that's the only thing I could think of. He didn't want to approach, or, you know, some coaches want to just smooge their stars, but you can't do that, man. They get enough smooging, you know. But, you know, Cleveland, they really thought LeBron wasn't coming.
They had no idea that LeBron was coming back because they wouldn't hire David Blatt in the first
place. I agree.
Who thought LeBron was going to come? The only person I remember reporting that it's a possibility was Stephen A. Smith. He said, don't be surprised if LeBron go back to Cleveland. But I was very surprised. He said, I'm coming home.
I was surprised that he left Miami too. As a business decision, I was surprised he left Miami. Because LeBron is a businessman, but you know what? It seems like he put family first.
Yeah, he absolutely put family first. He went back.
You know, that's what it
appears
like.
What LeBron did when he went to South Beach, that was LeBron's college. That was his 4 years of college that he didn't have. He's never been away from home. He always lived in Ohio. That was his college experience going to Miami, and he went back home and wanted to bring a chip to the OH. I'm a bigger Warrior fan than I am a Cavs fan, but I like both teams. Ty Lue is my man. I know Ty Lue. We go way back. Real good guy. Well-deserved job, and I think he's going to do a good job. And he's the all-star coach, too. 3 wins, 3 games in. Ty Lue, congratulations, brother.
I hope you're right, man, because I still remember him at Nebraska. You know, I remember him as a little point guard in Nebraska. I always followed the little point guards. I remember that. So I hope he does well, too, just because he's been waiting for that position for a long time. So he finally got it, and I hope the brother does well with it. So, Fresh, to end the show, man, let's end it with our famous segment. Well, our soon-to-be famous segment anyway.
What did we learn? Well, we learned that Cam is an African-American quarterback that we've never seen with the tools that he have in his belt before. We haven't seen a quarterback do that. We've also learned that the All-Star reserves are in place. We also learned that LeBron James really didn't respect David Black.
Did we learn that he did not respect David Black? We really learned that, huh?
We really learned that.
We also learned that Drake, for some reason, can't even get a performance at the NBA All-Star Game in Toronto.
Now that's... Somebody need to answer that question for. I don't know who we need to call and ask why Drake isn't performing at halftime of the All-Star Game at home in Toronto. It just befuddles me. You think they tired of seeing Drake being from Toronto? How can you get tired of seeing Drake?
That's what I was going to say.
He make new material like every week.
How can you get tired of seeing Drake? Drake is the man. What else we learned?
We learned that Golden State is a problem. They're the cheat code, man. I'm sorry. They like playing the video game on no fatigue. You just make everything. That's how it seems like when you're watching them play. Like you got fatigue off on the game.
No fatigue. Just three, fire, all fire.
Your intelligence turned up. You're cheating. You put the code in.
We also learned DeMarcus Cousins hates fans.
Boogie.
Shout out to DeMarcus Cousins, man.
What up, Boogie? We got to have you on the show, bro.
Yeah, bro.
Our dot has been a pleasure, man. I look forward to doing it again next week, man. One thing I want to say before we go.
Before we close the show, what you
got
to say?
We got Cavs, Spurs, and Cleveland Saturday. Who you like and why? Before we get out of
Cavs,
here.
Games at Cleveland?
Yes, it's the Saturday primetime game.
I'm going with Spurs.
R-Dot has the Spurs. I'm going with the hometown Cavs. They're going to run it up. They're going to beat them by double digits, the Cavs at home.
What's your score?
109-98.
I'm taking Spurs, 105.99. That's what I'm taking. Spurs, 105.99.
All right, Dad, before we get out of here, I'm going to say what my mom always told me. I'm going to do something the devil don't do. I'm going to leave you alone. I'm out.
Holla.